Hey, PG fans, got a dollar? Then head over to shop.premierguitar.com and check out our massive ebook collection. We have authoritative titles on everything from DIY projects to lessons in a variety of styles and advice from legendary artists and gear builders. Plus, we release new collections every 2 weeks. Check it out at shop.premierguitar.com.
What's up, YouTube? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee at the End, hanging out with the dudes in Knock Loose today. I'm very excited. This is Isaac Hale. They're out on the road right now in tour in support of your new album.
Yeah, new record.
Different Shade of Blue,
record,
which rips if you haven't heard it.
Thank you. Appreciate
man,
it.
I'm so glad. Everybody over at Pure Noise, thanks for letting us do this and setting this up. This
Absolutely.
Rules. I've been really, really excited about your band for a long time, and
Hell yeah.
I probably owe you guys all a little debt of gratitude for kind of reigniting my passion for hardcore.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Appreciate that. Let's start with this seven string
Absolutely.
Bastard right
yeah.
here. What do we got?
This is an Ibanez RGD. There's a bunch of numbers that come after the
Dude.
RGD. I think it's an MX some shit.
Yeah.
Not sure. I never nail down the numbers. But
Dude, they're impossible.
Yeah, they're impossible. It's pretty standard. We got one volume knob on this guy.
That's it.
I had them remove the other dude.
Cool. Are you ever going to the neck?
Dude, very rarely.
Right.
I do for some lead stuff.
For lead stuff,
These
yeah.
are both DiMarzio Fusion Edge pickups. Not something that you typically, usually it's like a bare knuckle or an EMG.
Right, right.
But I actually hate active pickups.
Really, why is that?
I just think that the EMGs, it's not that, I think that they have their time and place for everything.
Sure.
But I there's a sizzle to them that is kind of hard to control on a gain standpoint that
sure.
I think. And I like having a really like nice warm tone. I don't have a problem with boosting my gain with a pedal or on the amp and turning
yeah.
it up, cranking it super loud if it makes up for that pickup.
I get
so
that. Sometimes EMGs can be a little light in the mid-range too.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that we crank our mids super high. So having these a bit warmer,
right.
it kind of makes our sound a bit warmer. It makes it a bit more full. You know, ash body, maple
yeah.
neck.
I love the wood.
Yeah, exactly. It's
so
beautiful.
Cool.
I've beaten the shit out of this.
Surely, yeah.
I really have, but it's done me so well. Got just like standard, like stock fucking locking
tuners. Gotta have that for
yeah. Nothing crazy sure. about this guy, but it's done me so well. I love playing Ibanez guitars. They're so fast.
Yeah, the neck is usually really, really nice.
Yeah, the neck's really, really nice. The new record has a shit ton more riffage on it. It's got a lot more death metal in it. It's got a lot more moving up and
moving
down the fretboard.
Mm-hmm.
So this cutaway allows for me to get all the way up here. We're playing dissonant chords
squeals,
and shit all
yeah.
the way up here. Squeals and
Dude,
shit.
This fretboard is sick,
exactly.
too.
It's awesome.
Like a burled.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
The way that this kind of works its way in, this little cutaway works its way into
yeah.
the neck. It's really
and that
nice.
Gives you plenty of neck access.
Exactly,
yeah.
yeah. I mean, I can hit this guy, all like that's two octaves, like easy.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not. It doesn't even take anything for me to hit it, so. Yeah, I love this guitar. It's done me well. And yeah, big ups to Ibanez for hooking us up.
Yeah,
man.
I saw the new line at NAMM was beautiful,
yeah,
man. They're doing some
amazing.
Really wacky,
yeah.
cool colors.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Stuff, yeah.
I've nothing specific, but I've been working on some cool ass shit for another guitar. I love the RGAs and the RGDs. Mm-hmm. I think they're super fast. They're super cool. They're super. It's the my first guitars, like back in the day, my first
sure.
extended range guitars were.
Ibanez.
I mean, like,
yeah.
Korn was like
they were like
first.
One of the first to really kind of
exactly.
start to
so whenever I think of sevens, which what is what we have played for a while, I just think, I automatically think Ibanez. So being able to work with them and
so
play these.
Speaking of sevens, is it a tension thing for you, or is it Or you're just really used to playing
it's
sevens?
It's I've played sevens ever since I was a kid.
Okay.
Knock Loose in the beginning went back and forth between six and sevens because we used to play in drop A. We now play in drop G, but not drop G anymore. We play in standard A now. So we play in a standard tuning now.
Oh wow, okay, cool.
So it's cool being able to play that low, have that extra string, which is never a big deal to us. I was just kind of adapted to it. Some people pick up a seven string and are like, what the fuck?
How do I do this? Yeah.
But for me, it was never really a big deal. Issue. Like, as a dude that has like small hands even, like it's pretty easy for me to wrap.
And the neck is so.
Exactly.
Profile
it's is not,
very flat.
It's like flat profile, not super thick, like super easy.
I always think seven's a good balance because, you know, you see a lot of dudes like Tosin Abasi playing like eight and more. But man, the fretboard just looks like an ironing board.
Exactly.
For me as a sloppy player, it leaves a lot of room for mistakes.
Exactly. Yeah. And like Knock Loose is a hardcore band. So it's like we're not playing with that level of, you know, technicality as something, you know, like Tosin Abasi, for example, monster player.
Super clean.
You know, exactly. Super clean everything, but like there's a little slop. There's a little dirt in what Knock Loose does. Like, I mean, I'm not a perfect player by any means. I'm throwing my shit around. Yeah. So like,
no, it's about live show.
I'm beating the fuck out of this thing. So like, there's some slop there. There's some, you know, there's some shittiness there. But like, it's all part of the character.
I
think that this guitar really, really has become, and Cole's too, have really, really become kind of a part of the show too.
Totally.
And a part of the look and everything. So
sure.
Yeah, love this thing.
Big great, and you have you're currently touring with a backup, but it's pretty much identical, right?
Yes.
Same pickups and everything.
Literally,
cool.
Literally.
Gotcha.
Same chin.
All right, let's talk about one of my all-time favorite things in the world to talk about, the 5150.
Yeah.
God,
amazing.
I love this head.
Amazing.
Dude, I mean, every iteration of it that I've had, and I've had Block Letter, you know, when I was a kid.
Exactly.
It just always does
so
the thing.
So the Block Letter is my favorite still.
Yes.
The original, the OG Block Letter. I think it's pretty much like, make sure this guy's off. I think it's pretty much like God tier tone.
Right.
It's like God tier.
For this kind of music, it is.
God tier tone.
Yeah.
Like, it just, something about like the resonance of that head. It's so fat
it's
sounding.
Great. The presence knob is such a wonderful thing to have.
Wonderful, man. Yeah. And like, dude, so many huge records, like going into studios, so many huge records, you have crazy amps. You got like Uber Shawls and
Diesels
and Mesa Mark Fives. And so many
times, the 5150 for me.
5150 is the one that's used.
I agree.
And the dudes at the studios are like, I don't get it. I don't get it, man.
It's funny to me too because like a lot of manufacturers, you know, when doing the high gain thing, like, shit, there are some great high gain, like the Uber Shawl, Bogner makes great high gain stuff.
Incredible.
But for the price point, you can find a used 5150 for like $500.
Dude, and I played the Block Letter for a long time. Me and Cole used to both play the. I have two of them, the 50-watt 5150 freeze. Love those amps. For the price and for what they do, I think those are perfect amplifiers.
Yeah,
I really do. You know, this amp is pretty self-explanatory. It's not, everyone knows
it's
about
great.
It.
It's easy
much.
To dial in a great
Easy
tone
to
that.
Dial in. It's very, very simple. The 5153, a bunch of people use it. I moved up to the 100-watt guy.
Right.
Because other guitar player, Cole, recently, he plays a triple rec now.
Right.
And I wanted more power to match his power, so
totally.
I moved up to 300.
No, and in a situation like, all right, so you guys...
Exactly.
They played an in-store yesterday, which I don't know if you guys know about this yet, but Premier Guitar has kind of like a little partnership with Grimey's, which is an independent record store, and if you're ever in Nashville, you definitely should go check it out, because it's awesome. But they played there yesterday, and it was like, I was talking to Doyle, the guy that runs the show over there, and he said it was the first stage dive, first head walk, first mosh pit.
Exactly.
It's like, this is so cool. But in a situation like that where you're only miking vocals,
you
kind of need 100 watts.
You need to crank it. Yeah, exactly. So, and I already had this guy. I used it for my other hardcore band that I played for because we were playing smaller shows.
Sure.
You know, you're playing mic'd up, that 50 watt is more,
I
think that 50 watt sounds insane.
I love it. Lower wattage amps are cool, man.
I love being able to crank that shit like right up to the headroom, you know, to the point where you're like
tubes start.
Fucking going insane, man. That's my shit. I just like being able to crank shit, and I like having loud stage volume more than anything. It's a very rough thing for sound guys to deal with, but for me, not a huge part. About Knocked Loose is having a loud stage sound.
Totally,
like feeling it. Like that's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, like tonight, like there's not gonna be that much shit coming through these. Like we're just gonna be, it's gonna be like playing a show vocals through the PA, and then so there you fun. Go. Just like classic.
God, I love that.
But yeah, this amp's fucking awesome. Everyone knows it's awesome.
Right.
And yeah, I love it.
And then Mesa cab for a 5150, pretty standard. Those things sound monstrous.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what speakers are in there?
I think these are just the standard.
Vintage 30s or something like that. Yeah, which 30s. Always sound great.
Standard vintage 30s, classic.
Totally.
I love the straight. I love the straight.
Straight cabs.
Versus the slanted.
Yeah.
These cabs, they sent us, Mesa sent these to us. And
did they already have the image
no,
on?
No, we had to put it on. We
it's
had to
slick.
Put it on. Yeah. We had to take the whole shit out. Dude, we had to take the back off, put it through the back.
Oh, wow.
Like, whole straight thing. It was a pain in the ass. But
cool. It looks rad.
But it does look cool. Yeah. It looks pretty cool. These cabs, these newer, they started making their straight cabs a bit smaller and their base cabs smaller.
Yeah, pretty oversized cabs.
Pretty oversized
I have one
cabs.
And it sucks to move.
Yeah. These new smaller ones are so fucking tight.
They're they got
so
wheels
cool.
on them, I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're smaller, they're lighter, and they sound just as huge while being smaller. The base cab is fucking, it's tiny, but it's still insanely loud. So, yeah very standard V30s.
Hey, it does the damn thing, man.
Yeah,
I love it. All right, so on to pedal world. I love that you have some modulation effects. This is pretty great.
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm gonna guess right out of the gate, the freeze. Is that for like Counting Worms, like the beginning of that?
Actually, the freeze is only meant for one reason. The freeze is meant for tuning when we need to still make noise.
I see.
So we use
like
the freeze for one
songs.
Thing. Yeah. So
Brilliant.
When we're ringing out and shit and we need to tune, or if someone is playing, they feel like they're out of tune, you just click it, tune real quick, come back.
Sure.
That's literally the only thing it's for. I use it a couple times during the set. I'll freeze a noise just to have it sound fucking cool.
Pick scrape or something.
Yeah, pick scrape just to have it sound cool. It's a sick little pedal.
I love
it.
It's
home.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
I use it at home for more shit. Like, I'll solo over it, or I'll like hold fucking do crazy
sustain
shit.
Sustain pedals
it.
Like that are just so cool.
Yeah, they're so tight. But I for this purpose, we all have one. It's for making the transitions more smooth. We
Brilliant.
Use
yeah.
two different tunings because the old record is in drop G, new record's in standard A. We have to tune that top
was that,
up.
Oh, Putney's decision or
that was us.
It
that was.
Was
us.
Okay.
We all played in standard. Like me and Cole, who write a bunch of the riffs, played in standard in all of our other musical endeavors, and we were like,
why not go back?
Yeah, it's like, why not just do that and not? And we love the way standard tunings feel. There's different chords that
the
we love using.
The tension is normal
there.
Feeling.
Yeah,
totally.
It sounds a bit clearer. So, yeah, we use that, you know, when we need to tune that top string up for a song, you know, to go back and forth. So
makes sense.
That's pretty much what this guy's for, yeah.
Then we got a chorus, digital delay.
Yeah, easy.
Classic boss pedals, you know how they work.
Boss chorus pedals, easy.
You can get them anywhere if they break.
Exactly. Easy, you know, reliable. These have never broken me. They've lasted me literally for like 7 years now.
Rules.
Insane. And
I have boss pedals from when I was a kid still.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I usually like play a good amount of leads in Knock Loose songs, and I'll literally just boom.
Dude, double smash?
I literally just boom.
Chorus delay?
Yeah, that's literally all I do, is I'll just
give
click
you that
it.
Zach Wilde vibe.
Exactly,
totally.
Exactly. Huge fan of chorus on everything.
Yeah.
I'm like a...
It thickens it up, man.
Dude, I just think it sounds so fucking cool. Like, there's a bunch of parts on the new record, like kind of melodic parts that have chorus on it.
Love
and
it.
And I love that shit.
So what's this so what's cool. this Maxon here?
This Maxon, ST9 Pro Plus, Cole showed this to me. He was like, hey, Cannibal uses this. He was like, and Cole's a huge death metal guy. He's like, yo, Cannibal uses this. I used to use the Mesa Grid Slammer, which is kind of like their answer to a TS9, kind of.
Yeah.
He showed me this. He was like, hey, yo, this is what Cannibal uses on their shit, makes it sound super fat. Cannibal Corpse's new guitar tone with their drop tune guitars is like some of my favorite.
Yeah,
guitar
it's cool.
Tone.
It's really
insanity.
Cool. Yeah.
And at first I thought it was like, oh, it's just some death metal, like bullshit. Like, it's, you know, but then I tried it and it's fucked up, dude. I mean, like.
Can we hear it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can. We can hear it. Do you want me to turn down at all?
No. No.
We'll, I think we're okay. Yeah,
we'll
do that. Hold on.
I want to hear the double smash too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we got like without it. Pretty hot without
pretty
it.
Pretty hot.
But with it.
Nah. Nasty.
Yeah, disgusting.
Nasty.
Disgusting.
Plus, probably gives you a little more sustain, too,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Let's hear the double stomp.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I love it. I love it.
Exactly. Just loud. It's
so reminiscent of like my favorite. You know, when I was a kid growing up listening to hardcore, you know, I'm old, so it was like One King Down and bands like that. Yeah, I totally did that thing.
Exactly.
It sounds rad. It's,
that's exactly what we're trying to do.
I love it.
Yeah, we're just mixing up
cool.
that shit.
Ready for a special offer on a print subscription to Premier Guitar? Visit shop.premierguitar.com now and use this coupon, podcast15. That's PODCAST15. Get 15% off a one-year subscription to our in-depth coverage of your favorite artists and the coolest new gear. Offer valid in U.S. only. No Wi-Fi required.
Didn't expect a swollen pickle on your board.
My favorite pedal in the world.
Really?
Favorite pedal in the world ever. He uses one too. Found it at the studio last time, the first time we went, Will Putney Studio. And he was like, hey, this is a god-tier pedal. We use it all the time. It just makes things sound stupid.
Is it always like an always-on kind of pedal?
No. We hit these on our slams. And it's like slower, basically heavy parts that sustain.
Right.
Heavy parts that sustain longer. We'll both click them all at the same time. Me and Cole both click them at the same time. Huh. And just take it from here to just...
Ooh, I got to play.
Disgusting.
I got to get one of those and check it out.
For just sure. Like, you know, you're playing already insane, but then you click it. And then I usually end up clicking the chorus to make it even fatter, so it goes to just stupid.
Super fat.
It sounds stupid. Yeah, it sounds ridiculous.
ISP decimator, kind of essential for something like this, right?
Yeah, I run shit through my effects loop, so I have these guys, these modulation pedals going through the effects loop.
Cool.
Runs into here, and then these guys going through the front of the head, runs into here. All this ends up back here.
Cool.
Goes through this Shure wireless system.
Wireless, sure.
And then that's pretty much it, man.
Cool. Yeah. Wait, loop station, we didn't talk about that.
Loop station, that's for literally interludes between,
tracks.
We don't do any crazy, like, shit.
It's not like you're minus the bear
over
here.
Exactly, we're not doing any like crazy like guitar shit. I'd like to fuck with that eventually.
Yeah,
like
totally.
it'd be sick, but for right now these are playing like we have our songs in blocks. We play sounds in between just to like air out the room. Have there always be like, you know,
give you
have it sound a little intense. And on the new record there's a lot of like little sound clips in there. There's a bunch of shit like that, so we wanted a way to fucking kind of make the live show cooler, so we run those too. But yeah, whole thing's pretty standard. There's nothing
pretty Spartan considering. Yeah,
yeah, but pretty, great. Not pretty, nothing like fucking crazy going on, but just standard chorus delay freeze, and then stupid pedal, and then stupider pedal.
Yeah, totally.
Basically. The goal is to just sound ridiculous.
Right. And I think you guys are pulling that off.
Have as much, you know, crazy tone going from one guy. So when we're all playing at once, it just sounds fucking insane.
Massive.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Sam, I think it was a pleasure talking to you.
Of course, man.
Very excited for the show tonight.
Thank
you. We're going to talk to Cole and the rest of the guys and
of course,
get out of here.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Now we're on the other side of the stage with Mr. Cole Crutchfield. Cole? Thanks for doing this, man. Really appreciate it. A Mesa and a 5150 is one of my favorite of all combinations of hardcore bands. Because, like, the Mesa has kind of it's a rectified tone, you know, it's just different. So is that something that you intentionally did, or is this just a head that you really liked?
I've been playing the EVH 5150 50 watt for a while.
Yeah, those are great.
And I just want to switch it up, because on record, like, for rhythm tones, we blend, like, a PB5150 and, like, a Mesa.
Sure.
So I just want to, like, get that tone, like, have, like, the blended sound, I guess. And I just love Chopper X, and I found one for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And Louisville Sets grabbed it, yeah, and I love it. It's my first tour playing with it.
Oh, really?
It's great, yeah.
Was there any kind of adjustment? Did you have to, like, change your pedal setup at all for it?
Not really, no. Cool. I just started using this Mesa pedal again, though.
Oh, the Grid Slayer?
Yeah, it sounds great.
This is awesome. Yeah, All right, we're working backwards here. Let's talk, Ibanez, you guys. This obviously is brand new.
Yeah, I just got this.
What a cool burst.
On our last headliner, but yeah, I got to pick out like the colorway and stuff, but yeah, I've been as like hooked it up to Prestige. It's like the new RG.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love
they're
it.
Great. Do you know what pickups are they stock?
Yeah, these are they're stock. They're bare knuckle brute forces,
which are great.
They're great. Yeah, they sound really good. But I love this guitar, man. I haven't been playing it on too many shows in this tour because we've been playing like super small venues, and I don't want it to get like.
I love the binding on the neck. Ruined, that's
tight. Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Very I love sweet. It. It's like a gloss
reverse
finish.
Headstock action.
Yeah, dude, sick. I've been playing this guitar on this tour though.
Also a beauty.
I got this like a couple years ago, but this is the Iron Label. It's like the RGA.
I
this guitar is just
wood.
Great. Yeah, it's, yeah. I play these on smaller rooms and stuff, and it gets like super sweaty. It's just like the natural finish. You can't really ruin this.
Are these also bare knuckles, I'm guessing?
These are bare knuckle aftermaths. And
cool.
These are
yeah, the aftermaths are great. Yeah,
yeah, these are definitely like more higher gain though. So like whenever I play this guitar, I have to like adjust the settings of my amp a little bit. But yeah, these pickups are like me and they sound great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this guitar. It's like one of the most solid guitars
I've
ever owned.
Like, oh, the neck
yeah,
is sick.
Played this like Olive Warped tour like outside. You can actually like tell because this used to be white when I got it. Now it's all like
the
yellow from playing
yellow.
It
that's
outside.
That's so
every
cool
day
though.
Tour, but
yeah, it actually complements the color of the wood anyway.
Right.
So
yeah.
It rules.
It's great. I love this guitar.
Well, heck yeah! You're also running through a Mesa cab.
I am. Yeah.
Stock speakers. I'm guess you haven't changed that out or anything.
Yeah, it's like brand new Mesa cabs. They hooked it up.
Cool.
Yeah, put the new grills in them for the record.
I know. Yeah, I was just talking to Isaac about how sweet that looks. He said it was a huge pain in the ass to take everything out.
It was a whole process. You had to like open like the back and staple them on and all. It was like a whole day, but I mean it was worth it.
Yeah, it totally
looks
great.
Yeah. Yeah. We usually run like two cabs on each side and like two 8x10s, but obviously in rooms like this, you can't set them up. You can barely even set that up in here. But
yeah, you'd kill people if you did that.
it's
a pretty small
room. Yeah. I didn't have wheels. I just stack them. That'd be ridiculous.
Cool. Let's dive into pedal world.
Cool. Yeah.
I see a couple of repeats from Isaac's. I mean, the freeze pedal's great. Gotta have a decimator.
Yeah, decimator's awesome. We both use the Swollen Pickle. That's for the like fuzzier like HM2 sounding parts on the record. But I used to use the Maxon that Isaac is using, OD, like the Super Tube one. But I just started using the Grid Slammer again. And just like the compliment that Mesa had. And it sounds really good. I love it. It's just a super precise overdrive. It's awesome.
Yeah, I dig those. Yeah. And then what are you using the Morley for?
I don't use this as much, just for like effects on little parts. I just kind of have that on my board for like other stuff that I do at home. Instead of just like taking it off when I come on tour, not that I just leave it on. But I use it for like a couple just like weird like effect things.
Make
it kind of weird.
Make something sound cool.
Then I'm running a flanger, super coarse, and a reverb through the effects loop. And we just started like messing around with flange on the new record. I was actually inspired by a Cherry Isaac Toth from Morbid Angel because like I love how like on like a lot of trem pick stuff and like Morbid Angel like a lot of times live he'll like throw the flanger on
one
of the sides. It's just like really cool like whenever you're like trim picking it out and we started experimenting with that on the new record. So
it actually stokes me out to hear like newer bands like you guys, especially hardcore bands, experimenting with modulation effects, because it was in the 90s it was a big deal, and then it was like nobody in like the 2000s used any kind of flange or chorus at all. But it's such a cool tone, man.
I love it. I love like different effects and just making stuff like weird and like messing around with stuff. And we use the chorus a lot for like a lot of like washy like ring out stuff.
Sure.
Then I use the reverb a lot, but there's like I do like way more leads on the new record, like some like Slayer type stuff, so I throw the reverb on for that. Then I have the Altoids can, of course, to hold the picks.
The pick can? That works.
Yeah, and
that
also
works.
If I need like a minute during while we're playing. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding, it's just picks in there.
Well, hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Pretty simple setup, but
it
sounds
pretty much
monstrous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds real damn good.
Man.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk
to us.
Yeah, really appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
All right, now last but not least, we're here with Kevin Otten. Mr. Otten, I appreciate you taking the time to do
this.
These rules.
Thank you for doing it.
Man, all right, let's start with these basses. These are beautiful.
Yeah, so this is my number one, my baby. It's an Ibanez BTB. It's the premium. Yeah, premium 1805E, whatever they want to put in it. 35-inch scale. It's got Bartolini's in it. They sent it to me, thank you to Ibanez. They sent Aguilar pickups, and I wasn't like a huge fan of it. They were just kind of like too mid, like just crunch mid sound. But I've always been a big fan of Bartolini's because they're just super low end,
punchy,
bassy,
punchy,
clean. Standard Ibanez like EQ, everything. EQ on, off, and like mids,
now,
all that.
In this set, are you screwing around with your EQ too a lot, or just kind of set it, forget it?
This volume all the way up, everything else complete, these are down. and I just go.
Yeah, that is a beautiful hunk of wood, my dude.
Yeah, it's super bougie looking because it's got like the gold hardware dark
wood.
Almost
looks like a funk player would play it. Yeah.
It doesn't fit me at all because I'm like black everything. So it's like my like alternate personality bougie would play this. So it's like that's kind of why I do it.
Oh, that rules. What else we got in here? What is this bad boy?
So I just got this bass right before we did the Heavy Montreal Fest with like Slayer in them. It's Ibanez ATK. And
I've never seen one of these.
I've been looking for one of these for so long.
What era is it from?
I think it's a newer one because I know the older ones don't have the neck pickup.
Oh, weird.
It's just the bridge.
Which now that's a honking freaking pickup.
Yeah, I've never seen these. They're cat pickups.
I've never seen that in my life.
But yeah, Ibanez used to make these and then they stopped this year. And this was a year that we got like a re-up on like orders and stuff. And I was like, yo, ATK, please, I want one so bad. And our guy was like, done, and don't make them. So I had to buy this. I don't care, I wanted it so bad.
It's so funny how stratty it looks in a way. Like, but that wood pickguard is just so...
It's so cool. Like,
cool.
And this is like my favorite, just like the natural finish
totally.
On everything.
Plus they breathe. I feel like it really breathes better. Like without any kind of lacquer, there's so much resonance, you know?
And I don't know, it's a bolt-on. This one is the neck through.
Yeah.
I didn't mention, but...
That belly scoop is really nice, too.
Mm-hmm. I could do this all day. Don't feel anything.
What was it about this guitar that made you, like, want to seek it out?
I think the body shape, just, like, the standard, like, C, kind of like a Fender.
Yeah, it looks like a Strat, yeah.
Yeah. The color, the natural...
this bridge plate. I know. Holy shit. You could skate that.
It's a little dirty. I played it at our release show at home, but I just like it. I'm like drawn to it.
Yeah.
It's
a different kind of headstock too for Ibanez, I feel like.
Yeah.
I don't know. That doesn't look too familiar to me, but that's cool.
It's
almost reminiscent of like the RG series and stuff like that, the Prestige and stuff.
A little bit. And
just
like
fatter.
The only thing I wish I would change about it was all the tuning pegs on one side.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't care. I looked over it.
Are you switching between these two quite often, or is it just?
I've been playing this one a little bit more just because I got it.
Yeah.
And
what
I like.
What does this pickup sound like?
It's super, just like overdrive, like to the max. It handles overdrive super well, and like this one does too, but this one is more of like a clean,
totally.
Kind of sound. And this one just
typically like a precision, almost like a jazz.
Exactly, which like fits with us, and then so does this one. So like yeah, I can go either way with it, but
it looks like a giant wooden Strat. It's so cool.
And it's super light. I don't know if you want to.
Oh yeah, sure. Oh wow, that doesn't weigh nothing.
Yeah, super easy to play.
I did
play,
not expect
super
that.
Light.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be a honker, like at least heavier.
I'm glad it isn't because I was just this all the time. But 34 inch scale, bolt on.
Cool.
Super, super sick.
And you guys are tuning to A standard, I think.
A standard for the new record.
Yeah. So what gauges are you running? I forgot to ask the other guys.
These are 135 Ernie Balls.
Cool.
So I think 135, 110. I can't remember.
I'm not very versed on bass strings. I'm a guitar player. But you guys obviously are playing some sweaty ass shows.
Yeah.
Are you having to change those strings quite a bit? Or
every two shows.
Every two shows, wow.
Yeah. So I didn't change them on this one because I knew that this one had fresh strings.
Gotcha.
But tomorrow, I'm just kind of like rotating it now.
That's actually a good reason to have a backup bass if you're having to change that often.
And it's because we don't switch basses or like guitars or anything through the
Unless
set.
You break a string or something?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're not going to unbass, but like.
I have before.
No shit.
But it was a while ago. But luckily I haven't now. But yeah, so just like every other show, I'll switch basses or something. So
right. Makes
super
sense.
Easy.
Cool. Let's take a dive into the Zampeg over here.
Yes.
Yeah. SVT Classic, can't go wrong.
Dude, obviously.
It does the damn thing. Not fun to move.
Yeah. No. God no. 80 something pounds, I think.
Oh.
All right.
But nothing does that thing, man. It does a thing. How long have you had that bad boy?
I just got this. Before this little run, I've had one before and it just completely shit out on me. And it would have been like as much to repair it as